go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're joined by the Vice President of the American Foreign Policy Council. He is Elon Berman, a man who we turn to with regularity. I'm very grateful to him for allowing us to do that. On a whole host of issues on which he is expert, whether it's Latin America, whether it's Iran, whether it's Russia, whether it's the jihad, really the major national security issues of our day are ones on which he is published at Forbes.com in various books, including most recently Iran's Deadly Ambition, the Islamic Republic's Quest for Global Power. And, of course, in his commentaries here and elsewhere. Elon, it's always a delight to talk with you. Welcome back.
Oh, great to be back.
You have recently returned from a visit to China, and I'm interested in getting sort of your read on the Chinese at the moment, Elon. We've been talking about this with Bill Gertz a moment ago. And what are your thoughts on how the Chinese are perceiving the United States and the opportunities for misbehaving at the moment?
Well, I think they think there's a tremendous amount of opportunity to misbehave at the moment, precisely because there is no significant serious pushback from the Obama administration on a number of things that they're doing. Only the most public is what we've been hearing in recent weeks about the Chinese reclamation activities in the South China Sea, the idea that they're creating artificial islands, and by doing so, trying to create structures that are permanent enough that they can expand their territorial boundaries. The Obama administration has been very late in the game in terms of contesting what China's doing, and finally marshaled enough political will to send a Freedom of Navigation patrol to essentially demonstrate that these islands aren't part of Chinese territory, right? There's international waters. But even as it did so, it fumbled that response because a lot of the legal terminology that it used, including innocent passage, only happens within the territorial waters of sovereign states. So we're sending mixed messages to the Chinese.
Let me ask you about something that I discussed with Bill as well, Elon Berman, and that is that according to Chinese sources, and the administration is not officially disabusing us of this view, the United States government has decided that the Chinese are right after all, that the Office of Personnel Management data theft, huge data theft, was not perpetrated by Chinese hackers. It was some criminal gang activity. Did you come across this this narrative in Beijing, or what do you make of the fact that we seem to have gone to the mat on this one?
Right. Well, there's a little bit of a disconnect here, I think, on cybersecurity and on other issues, including President Obama's pet issue, which is climate change. Which so I was in China just days after President Obama and Chinese President Xi Jinping met in Washington, and there's lots of platitudes exchanged, including commitments for greater U.S.-Chinese cooperation on both of those fronts. But it's very clear that from the Chinese perspective, there is a lot of opportunity to make political headlines and sort of to make political headway with Washington by promising certain things, by promising better cyber governance, by promising better climate change regulations. But whether or not they're actually going to do it remains, I think, entirely uncertain.
Elon Berman, let me switch gears because another area, as I mentioned, that you've been following closely and writing extensively about, of course, is Iran. There was this week an International Atomic Energy Agency report issued, long awaited, that seemed rather categorically to say there has been, in fact, in Iran, a nuclear weapons program, not simply nuclear power research and the like, but a nuclear weapons program. The question is, where does that stand at the moment? And are we, in fact, now looking at a problem that is vastly more serious than the administration has led us to believe?
Well, yes and yes, I think, are the answers. Clearly, what the IAEA has reported on Iranian military-related nuclear activities, at least running up until 2009, shouldn't be a surprise to anyone who's been paying attention to what the Iranians have been doing, because Iranian nuclear activities for a very long time have looked offensive, have been constructed in parallel with a series of other strategic programs. So the idea that Iran's nuclear program has military applications, I don't think should be surprising to anyone. What it does do is it creates a bit of a political conundrum for the administration, because we now have, from a ostensibly impartial source, a detailed account of how Iran worked on nuclear weapons in the past. What we don't have yet, but we are looking to receive over the next couple of months, is their assessment of whether or not Iran still continues to do so. That, of course, theoretically, should spike the nuclear deal that the Obama administration struck.
Ilan, there was another development this week, and that was that the Department of State, I believe in response to questions from Congressman Mike Pompeo, formally said there actually is no deal with Iran, but there is political agreement. Now, you are a serious student of Iran, of the Islamic Republic, of its enmity towards us, of its ways of doing business, of its larger agenda. What on earth are we thinking in pursuing this will of the wisp as though it actually is some formal binding agreement on this nuclear weapons program of Iran's?
Right. No, I think really that's a central question, because what you're seeing is duality of application. The Iranians are treating the deal as if it's precisely what it is, which is a political agreement that will be followed only for so long as it serves Iran's interests, strategic interests to do so. The administration is following it as if it's a binding legal agreement and putting into place certain things that are going to be exceedingly hard to roll back. For example, and the International Atomic Energy Agency report we just talked about is part of that conversation, but the amount of money that shortly will be headed back to Iranian coffers as a result of sanctions that we are going to start lifting shortly, and honestly, frankly, probably irrespective of what the IAEA renders as its final report, is going to have a transformative effect on Iran. This is what the Iranians want as a political outcome, but I find it striking that while the Iranians are thinking about it politically, we're thinking about the fact that we have to do this because this is a binding agreement. It's not that case at all.
And Ilan, let me just say, one of the things that you've been writing about, which is instructive as well, is that the Iranian regime is doing everything it can to control its population, notably its access to the internet. There is money, as I understand it, that's been provided by Congress to the administration to try to screw up those efforts. And it's not being spent. What's going on with that?
Right. Well, I mean, look, so there's a number of pots of money that have been allocated for counter messaging towards Iran, for internet freedom writ large. And on all these fronts, frankly, the White House is falling down. What you're seeing in Iran is a very extensive, very ambitious effort to try to wall off the Iranian population from the outside world. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that the regime was running scared after the 2009 Green Revolution protests, and it understood that in a wired society like Iran's is, it's very important to control social media, to control the internet gathering space. And so they've spent a lot of time and a lot of money on doing just that, on tracking down dissidents via the internet, on harnessing, for example, Chinese companies to help them monitor registering internet users, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what's striking here is that all of these grandiose plans, they're expensive, and Iran has only been able to implement them partially for now. But the Iranians are on the cusp of receiving the type of economic stimulus that will allow them to do much more and very soon.
Ilan Berman, you help all of us understand just how frightening these developments are and the importance of addressing them rather more robustly than we have. I appreciate the work you do at the American Foreign Policy Council and for joining us here periodically as well. Keep up that good work, my friend. Come back to us again soon. Richard Pollack, investigative reporter par excellence, joins us. We've got an independent assessment of this San Bernardino business straight ahead.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.